This morning in Luke chapter 2, and I've taken the time to do this, so I'm just going to give you some things real quickly. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." What a magnificent statement. Unto you is born this day. Message is given that in Bethlehem a Savior has been born. Now back in the book of Isaiah chapter number 9 verse 6, we use that many times also around this particular season, because Isaiah gives us the prophecy. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The fulfillment of those few words are found in these two Gospels that we looked at on this timeline, and especially here in Luke chapter number 2. You'll notice the wording, "a child is born." Jesus came as a child. He was born as a baby. He could have walked on this earth. He could have just appeared as a full-grown man and could have been identified as who he was. But the Bible says he was born of a virgin. That's a very important part of the doctrine of the New Testament church. A virgin shall conceive, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, or call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So he was, a child was born. But the next phrase there in Isaiah says, "a son is given." And that indicates that, of course, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came as a child, but he was born as a son, and the son of David. Now, when Jesus was born, the world of Israel and the Jewish people was in a terrible state. The scripture tells us there had been no, between Malachi and Matthew, there had been no revelation. There had been no vision. There had been no prophecy. And for 400 years, God was silent. Israel had gone away from God, and so God withholds his presence from them, and so they are without any message from the Lord for those 400 years. Can you imagine in your mind how wicked people must have been with 400 years of no revelation? Now, they had the Old Testament, and they had many other things, but nothing was given to them fresh and new. And so they're there living and just literally barely surviving with no prophetic voice. The only revelation that they would know was that there is a son that's going to be given. The only thing they knew, that somewhere down the line there would be a Messiah that would be born. And I believe the night was dark for them. I believe the condition of their lives were very low spiritually, and there was a few that were serving God. There was a few, of course, the temple worship was progressing and going on, but for the main line of people, many of them were very anti and not concerned. Of course, they were under they had not their own rulership. They did not have their own government. They were under the Roman rule, and they were nothing more than peasants to the Romans, and they did what they had to do. And so the night was dark around them when Jesus was born. Sometimes it's hard for us to imagine that wonderful night in which the Lord was born, but yet physically it may have been a wonderful night, but spiritually there was darkness everywhere. And I believe that is pretty much the state of our land and our world today. We find that there are many today that have opportunity to read and to know and to have understanding of the Word of God, but they don't have any time for it. And I believe we're living in a dark period of time. The need was desperate, and Israel, in this sad spiritual state, they had to have a Savior. You and I, thank God, He came. And He tells us there in Luke 2:11 that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that's the message that was given to the shepherds. He is born this day. And the sign is that you shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Why was he in a manger? Because they didn't have room for him at the inn. They had no room in the place of Bethlehem. And by the way, they didn't have the facilities as you and I have. Sometimes we travel around, and you travel around, and you go to a motel, and it's there's no room. There's no vacancy. Well, we can go down the road and probably find something. But now Bethlehem, they didn't have Super 8, and they didn't have the different inns and all the things that we have. And so very limited, and you have to remember, Bethlehem, a very small city, now has the influx of all these taxpayers. And so there was not room. The city was filled. The city was full of people. Nowhere to sleep, nowhere to go. And Jesus is laid in a manger, wrapped in clothes called swaddling clothes that are clothes of the very poor. And there he is, has been born. But yet we know that the night may have been dark. We know that the need was very desperate. But thank God Jesus Christ is the divine remedy for all that took place and all that had happened. Today we find that he is the remedy for you and I. He's the remedy for those around us. As dark as our day is and as desperate as our day is, thank God Jesus Christ is he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. He's the one that can help us, and he's the one that gives us the ability to talk to people and to tell people about himself. And so he was God coming in the flesh. John the Apostle tells us that he was incarnate. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. He lived like other people. And so therefore, he was God in the flesh. But you know what? He was God before Bethlehem. He was God a long time before there was a Bethlehem, long time before the message was given. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's always been God, and he will always be God. But these verses we find God comes and takes up his abode in the flesh of a human being. He was absolutely man. He was absolutely God. He was absolutely sinless. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Thank God this morning Jesus came as a sinless substitute for you and I. He's our sacrifice. Brother Larry was teaching this morning on some things about the sacrifice. He is that sacrifice that was given for all of mankind, and all people have to do is believe and trust, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was just as much man, as much human as you and I, but he was always God. Now he's just God in the flesh. He was God before, he's God after. They may have put him on a cross, and they may have put him in a borrowed tomb. They may have rolled a stone so he could not escape, but he's still God in there also. And of course, on that resurrection morning, he proved who he was. He proved he was God, and he's still God today, and he always will be. Luke 2:11, we see a threefold identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he's our Savior. Thank God this morning, he's our Savior. Christ the Lord, a Savior, is born. When a person's in trouble and someone helps them, we are very appreciative of that. We have heard stories of people that have saved people's lives, and they're very, very appreciative of what takes place. We physically become that individual's, at that moment, become their Savior. We have saved their life physically. All but the Bible says that Jesus Christ came and he's Savior. He is Messiah. He is Lord. That word Savior, that's a title of being accepted. A child mission, he came to die upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus did not come to establish anything except the church. He came not to overthrow the Roman government, which the disciples thought he really would. They said, "Lord, is your kingdom now? Who's going to be first in the kingdom?" And they had a purely earthly vision of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. They really didn't understand all the details of what the kingdom of God was about. But as a Savior, they accepted him. As a Savior, we accept him. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He came for those that nobody cared about. He came for mankind that nobody else had any details or had any care for them. He loves the destitute. He loves the disappointed. He loves the disobedient. That's who Jesus came to die. They are the ones that he came to be their deliverer, their Savior. Sometimes people say, well, before an individual can get saved, they've got to clean up their life. God doesn't deal with the cleaned up lives. God deals with sinners. God doesn't deal with people that have to make things better and make things right and make them think that they're living better so God will accept them. God takes us, as our old song says in our songbook, just as I am. That's how we are delivered from this world. God knows us. God knows every detail about our heart. God knows every thought of our mind, good or evil, white or black. It does not matter. God knows every thought that we give, and he knows that what we are, but he still loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave. A son is given. And so we find that he was God. He is called Savior. He loves those that are unlovable. He loves those that are destitute. He loves, thank God, those that are depraved. And you know who that is? Every person that's ever been born is depraved. The word depraved means you have no ability, have no way of doing better. You cannot turn over a new leaf because the new leaf is just as bad as the old leaf. You can't make things good because you can't make something good out of something bad. Only God can do that. And so therefore the Lord came for those that were dead in sins and trespasses. I'm glad he came for the sinful because that includes you and I. And it includes those that will come unto him. He's a friend of sinners and he is welcomed into our heart when we come to know him. And so as a Savior, he provides for us that we have been accepted. Now that Savior is accepted, now we are accepted because of him. We have been delivered and we now have been preserved by the grace of God. One of these days, the Bible says, for God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world. Why didn't he condemn the world? The world's already condemned. It was condemned back in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, the world was put into condemnation. So Jesus didn't come to pronounce condemnation. Jesus came to provide life. He was born as a child. And he had to grow and had to mature, but he was given as a son that would die upon the cross of Calvary, that we'd have eternal life through his name. And so thank God this morning we are accepted in him. We've been delivered by him. We are no longer what we used to be. We have been bought with a price, and God loves us and comes to us. He is that son that has been given. He is that one that is the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So the first word here is Savior. The second word is the word Christ. This simply means he's the Messiah. He's the one whereby we can access heaven. He is the one whereby that we can go and have our sins removed from us. I'm glad they're not just whitewashed over. I'm glad they're gone. As far as the east is from the west, they're no longer coming to judge us, no longer do they come to present judgment against us. Thank God they're underneath the blood and Jesus himself. And God says they're as far as the east is from the west, and they're in the depths of the sea, and God says, I remember them no more. Can God forget? He forgets our sins. Why does he do that? Because of the Christ child that was born, our Savior, Christ. Through Jesus, we can approach the Father. And we do that by prayer. We approach the Father by our studying the Word of God. He came to allow us to come into the very presence of Almighty God. And Jesus died, the way was opened up. Access to the place where God is. And not only do we have access, thank God He invites us to come. And we are to come and bow before Him. At the name Christ, it tells us that He is the anointed High Priest. He is that one that makes us and takes our petitions and delivers them to the Father. Thank God He pleads our case. He's our advocate. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Thank God this morning He was born as a child, and we celebrate His birth every year in the month of December. He was born as a child, but thank God He was a son that was given that gives us ability that we can go to the very presence of the Lord. You know, I don't have to go to, and I can't. We can't go to God for each other. Oh, we can go on behalf, but I'm the only one that really can go before God for me. I know my heart. I know my sins. I don't have to confess them to anyone but Him. And thank God He has forgiven us. And He wants us to recognize that forgiveness. So He is the Savior. He is Christ. Thank God He is the Lord. He is that one of authority. The word Lord, that refers to the one that has absolute control. That's why later in the book of Revelation, the scripture says that He shall be King of kings and Lord of lords. You take all the kings of the earth, He's the king. You take all the lords of the world and all the people of authority of this world, He is the authority. He is the one. And so the title Lord is a title of authority, and it should remind every Christian that Jesus Christ has authority over our lives. The Bible says we're no longer our own. What? We've been bought with a price. When I buy something, it's mine. If we buy something very expensive and want to throw it away, that's our business. If you want to buy a car and go out and tow it out the next day just because you want to, that is your, it's yours. Now make sure the bank don't own part of it now. I'm talking about when you really own something, it is yours. You can do what you want to with that object. This computer here is mine. If I want to throw it away, sometimes I feel like it. If I want to destroy it, that's nothing to anybody but me. Well, I belong to the Lord. And whatever He wants to do with me, you know what? He has authority. I may not like everything He does in my life at the moment. I may not enjoy all the trials. We might not enjoy all things that work together for good. We may not enjoy all the sorrows and the heartaches that come, but God never sends something on us that is not for our good. And so therefore, He is authority over us. I belong to Him. If you're a Christian this morning, you belong to Him. And if He wants to put us through the valley, He'll make a way through the valley. If He wants to put us in struggles financially, emotionally, physically, if He desires that for our life, it's for our good that somewhere down the line it will help us and help someone else. For all things work together for good. I have said for a long time, Romans 8:28 is one of the easiest verses in the Scripture to read and to rejoice in until you're there. It's good for me. It's easy for me to say, Seth, whatever comes in your life, it's good for you. But it comes in my life, I don't think it's so good. I can look at somebody else and say, well, God's working in their heart. God's doing something for them. But when the struggle comes to me, what do? We say, oh, dear God, help us. But He is my Lord. To be my Lord, He is my Savior. He is that one that has brought me into His family. And He can take care of me every possible way. Thank the Lord this morning. He was born as a child, but He was given as a son. He was given as a Savior. He was given as Christ. He was given as Lord. Born in the city of David this day, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels knew what they were talking about. They had firsthand knowledge of who had been born. And they come and proclaim, glory to God in the highest, goodwill toward men. He is my Savior. He is my Christ. He is my Lord. And so as we go into this coming Wednesday is Christmas Day, may we remember He is our Lord. Whatever befalls us in the year that is ahead, we don't know. We don't even know if we're going to make it those 7 or 8 days that's left. We're not sure. We can't say 100%, I'll be here tomorrow. I'll be here next Sunday. I'll be here the first Sunday of the year. We can't say that. But we can say, the Lord willing. Why? Because He is that authority over our life. Let's stand together this morning.